Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've all had an awesome week. The last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been in Paul's second letter to Timothy. And I was going to stop after last week's, but then after the show was over, I thought I needed to expand a couple of things a little bit more. And those of you that know me are probably already laughing, but I need to expand some things a little bit more, because we went through in chapter 3, Paul was talking to Timothy about the perilous times that were going to come, and the rebellion that was going to take place, and blasphemers were going to be involved, and things were going to get worse and worse and worse, and normal human relationships would also be involved in all this, and there would be less concern for anyone's conduct, and their conduct would become more and more immoral, and their consciences would be seared, as he says in another place, and people would be ungrateful and just be looking for pleasure and lust and greed. And so he's telling Timothy these things to, and remember, he, of course, didn't know when the, quote, end times were going to be. We can see these things that he mentions there in that passage going on in our world today. So we're not going to get into that now, but it's certainly something to consider, because we are in the perilous times, so to speak. And we've seen things get worse and worse over the past few years. But Paul, of course, did not know exactly, and not that we know. We can only speculate on eschatology. We can't know all the particulars. And as you know, there are so many interpretations and so many different streams of thought on that. But many people realize, reading through Paul's letters, that it sounded like he thought Jesus would come back pretty quickly, even from this time. And this is the very end of his life. So I would think probably by this time he would realize that he was not going to see the second coming. But he's writing to Timothy because Timothy is going to be the next generation of teachers, the next generation of preachers, the next generation of people that were going to spread the word. Men like him were very revered in the early days of the church because he had studied under the Apostle Paul. Paul was his mentor. He was Paul's spiritual son. We know that many of the early, very early church fathers had studied under one of the apostles and therefore had a connection. And when they had that connection to the apostle, to an apostle directly, of course, their teaching would be taken very seriously. And Timothy was one of the preeminent people of that generation because he had been mentored by Paul ever since Paul met him. And we ended up last week's show by Paul telling Timothy that the way he was going to get through these things was to stay solid in the Word, to stay solid in the Scripture. And Paul told him that he had learned the Scriptures from his childhood. Remember, he had grown up with a Jewish mother, Jewish grandmother, who had taught him the Scriptures. His father was Greek, and we're not told really anything about his father. But Eunice and Lois, his grandmother and mother, had taught him the Scriptures. And Paul says, ever since you were a kid, you have been studying the Scriptures, and these will make you wise unto not only knowledge, but unto salvation. And then he pointed out how the Holy Spirit breathed out the Word to the human authors, to the humans that wrote down the word. It was not dictation. And I think that's an interesting and important thing to keep in mind, is the scriptures were not dictated by the Holy Spirit, and then the writer simply wrote down what the Holy Spirit was saying to him. So it the human author, his personality, his grammar, his linguistical knowledge, all that, what all these things that it takes to do writing, those things are preserved. But the Spirit inspires, actually expires, because he breathes out the word, and it becomes an inspiration. So we even get the word inspiration that has to do with breathing function. The inspiration that the writer gets then leads him to write down what was intended by the Spirit. And you can see, and I don't want to belabor this, but you can see when you read Paul's writing that he was brilliantly intelligent and had studied for decades under the premier rabbi of the time, Rabbi Gamaliel. We learn about him in the book of Acts, and that he knew multiple languages. His culture spanned not only Judaism, but the Greek culture, the Roman culture. He spoke at least four languages, and he was incredibly disciplined. He was a high-placed Pharisee. He tells us in Galatians that no one was more zealous than he was for the traditions of the fathers. So he knew the law. He knew the traditions. He says he was the most zealous. He's also very arrogant. He was the most zealous. He was just advancing. He says no one was advancing in Judaism more than he was. He didn't say he was in the top 10% of his class. He didn't say he was in the top 5% of his class. He says no one was advancing like he was. And so it gives you a picture of the intense, not only intelligence of Paul, but also his mental discipline. He didn't have a attention span like modern people do, about 7.5 minutes. He studied, and he tells Timothy not only to study, but you study to show yourself approved. In other words, you study, you have the knowledge, you teach the knowledge, because that's what makes disciples. That's what leads you to preach the word, the knowledge of it. You don't have a superficial knowledge. Like today, no one has even a superficial knowledge of the scriptures. But you study to show yourself approved. You study in order to teach. You study in order to improve your own spiritual life, let alone the life of the others, the people that are, whatever you want to call it, under you or under your guidance. So he tells them that studying the word is what makes this important, because the word has been breathed out by the Holy Spirit. We're going to go back a little bit, because there was something that I didn't emphasize that I think needs to be emphasized, especially, again, because of the time that we're living in. And boy, if you're not noticing the time that we're living in, if you're not noticing what's going on in the world, what's going on in the churches, what's going on with the relationship between the world system and the Christian system, so to speak, between the church and the state, as it used to be in the old days, if you don't see what's going on, then you really got to turn off the TV and sit in a room and think about what you've heard on the news, what you've seen happen in your town, what your coworkers are telling you, what your neighbors are telling you, because we're living in an unprecedented time worldwide. It isn't just here, it's worldwide. So we're going to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, because that's actually where we are, but you would never know that from all this rambling that I've been doing. But 2 Timothy 3, we're going to go to verse 10. In fact, I'm going to read 10 to 17, because I didn't really go over this at all last time, and I think it's an important point. So starting in verse 10, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So the Scriptures make you wise for salvation, which is through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, you've known and followed all the doctrine I've been teaching. You've been aware of all my teachings. He could have said, remember all the time that we sat and talked about these things. Remember all the times that we've sat and studied Scripture. And of course, have to emphasize that the only Scripture available to both of these men is the Old Testament. That's a knock. So when Paul's talking about the Scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament. When Jesus is talking about all the Scriptures testify of him, when Jesus says to people, haven't you read? Haven't you heard? He's talking about the Old Testament. So for those of you that go to a church that thinks the Old Testament is not important, that it's okay to start studying the Bible in Matthew 1:1, you have to think about this very seriously. In the book of Acts, when Paul was in Berea and he was teaching, and the Jews in Berea, there were very serious intellectual Jews who lived in Berea in Greece, and had a significant, apparently there was a significant number of them. When Paul started to preach, they told Paul they were going to check everything he said against the Scripture. And like you've probably heard me say before, Paul didn't say, oh, well, wait a minute, that's going to make me nervous. Put those scrolls away. Let me just talk. He doesn't tell them not to do it. In fact, he says, go ahead and do it, basically. And they checked everything he said to make sure that it agreed with the Scripture, that it came from the Scripture, that it agreed with the Scripture. Now, what did they have? The Old Testament. They had the Tanakh. The New Testament had not been compiled yet. They had the Old Testament, and they made sure that everything Paul was saying was true from the Old Testament. So Paul's preaching Jesus from the Old Testament. This is what makes it important. So he tells Timothy, you've known this and you've followed this. And basically says, the better we learn this and the better we know it, we'll better be able to teach it, but also we'll better be able to cling to it. We'll better be able to be bonded to it. And this is part of the serious problem that we have today. Nobody knows the Scripture. Nobody cares to know the Scripture. Everybody's much more concerned about whatever is going on in their life, or whatever new freckle they found on their arm, or the fact that their cholesterol went up 4 points compared to last year, that they don't really understand the seriousness of the fact that if they don't know Scripture, they're not going to cling to Christianity. After all, today we don't even know what the gospel is. The only way of salvation, we don't even know what the gospel is for the most part. It's become any number of things. No one knows anything any longer about Christian doctrine. All the teachings that came, not only from Jesus himself, but from the apostles and from their successors and so on. And what's even, I don't want to say worse, because all that's pretty bad, but what's also in that category of just when you think things can't get any worse, Scripture's being reinterpreted, not by people who have never read it, not by people who have never given a hoot about it, not by people who have never heard of such a thing, but by people in the ministry, leadership of the church, leadership of the churches, have gone back to being Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because the serpent has said, well, did God really mean that? Of course he didn't really mean that. You're not going to die if you eat that. Come on, don't be silly. Let me tell you why he doesn't want you to do it. He doesn't want you to be independent. He wants to control you. And so the scripture is being reinterpreted in the light of the serpent talking to Eve, saying, yeah, well, God didn't really mean all that. That may have been written down, you know, some time ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. But God, that's not what he meant. Because now we know better than the Holy Spirit who inspired it. And we know better than the human author who wrote all this down. That's not what he meant. And so scripture's been reinterpreted, been, in many cases, rewritten. And so we can't follow the doctrine. We can't follow what Paul said because we don't even know what it means anymore. There's leaders of very, very powerful churches and religious organizations that say the Bible is just a series of stories so that we can live our life better as we're recycling and as we're doing any other number of social justice things. Reinterpreted. Then he says persecution and trials are going to be involved. And he says to Timothy, you witnessed this. Timothy witnessed Paul being persecuted. He says, you've seen this all happen. What do we have today? Easy Christianity. From the second half of the 20th century, well, maybe from three quarters of the way through the 20th century to now, we've got easy Christianity. Discipleship is going down to the front, saying the prayer, then getting on with your life. Discipleship now is maybe buying a Bible somewhere, putting it somewhere. Every once in a while, popping into church on Sunday, or even if you go every Sunday, just kind of shuffle in, shuffle out. That's replaced discipleship, which is not discipleship at all. To change a quote from Paul in Galatians 1, where he says, you know, you've learned a new gospel, which isn't a gospel at all. So we have easy Christianity. Paul says, look at the things I've suffered, and you've seen it happen. Paul preached the whole doctrine. You know, in Acts 20, 27, I think is the verse. It's in Acts 20. It says that Paul preached the whole counsel of God. In other words, he didn't pull any punches. He didn't tell people what they wanted to hear. He told people the whole thing, the whole news, the whole information, the whole gospel. So the people who heard the message couldn't then say, well, Paul never told us that. Well, Paul never told us this part. He preached the whole gospel. Timothy was a live witness, an eyewitness, an ear witness, because he was there for all of that, most of that. People couldn't say Paul hadn't told them the whole truth. And Timothy was a witness. And then Paul goes on to say that for people who want to live godly lives and follow Jesus, they're going to be persecuted because the world hates that. The world doesn't want to hear that, doesn't want to see that. Now we have the FBI breaking into people's houses because they've demonstrated at a pro-life event. This is what we've come to. If you want to live godly and follow Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to expect, you have to expect this. You have to expect to be despised. Jesus said, well, they're going to hate you because they hated me first. The world is in rebellion. Always has been, always will be. Each of you are in rebellion. I am in rebellion. That's our natural state. That's the nature we inherited from Adam and Eve. We have to expect to be despised. We can't be part of the mainstream. We used to at least give lip service to being part of the mainstream. After all, like I think I said last week, we live in a time now where the things that used to be sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, secret sins, things that were frowned on, things that would never be discussed, are now not only out in the open, but are being promoted. We live in a time of Isaiah 5. Woe to you when you substitute good for evil and evil for good. In other words, when you call evil things good and good things evil, woe to you. And that's where we are. So he says we have to expect that. We can't be part of the mainstream. But also in Acts 20, I think it's right after what I just mentioned. I don't remember the verse. It's probably 22 or 24. He says that he didn't count, Paul says, he didn't count his own life dear compared to the work he had to do. He had work that he had to do, and that was more important than his life. That was more important than his life because he had to preach the gospel. He had to get this information out. He had to make people aware that salvation had come, that there was only one way to be saved, and that he was there to tell them that message. And he says, this is more important than my life. I don't count my life dear compared to this. And he says about these persecutions, the Lord delivered me from all of it. In other words, the Lord delivered him from all these things, and I'm telling you, you witnessed some of it. There's a lot of it that you didn't witness. But he delivered me from these persecutions. Just like we will be delivered from these persecutions, if we stay faithful, we'll be delivered. And so he says, expect it, but also expect that the Lord will deliver you. Now, does that mean nothing bad's ever going to happen? No. Our earliest brothers and sisters were fed to lions, were lit on fire after being dipped in tar, were skinned alive, were nailed to crosses, were killed in brutal ways that we can't even imagine. And we're worried about people hurting our feelings. Or worse yet, we're worried about hurting somebody else's feelings. So he says, you've seen this happen and you know what can happen, and I'm warning you of what's going to happen. Because he says it's going to get worse. Deceivers will grow worse and worse. In other words, they're going to grow more aggressive. They are never going to give up. The demonic kingdom is never going to surrender. Satan is never going to surrender. He has been defeated, and he will soon, very soon, I hope it's today, but it'll be soon, where he will be completely defeated. Well, it won't be today because we haven't seen the Antichrist yet, but that's around the corner. You know, as the book of Revelation says, that he and the Antichrist will be thrown into the lake of fire. So he will be defeated, and we will be delivered. And so Paul's telling Timothy to expect this and to know that this is going to happen, and these deceivers are going to get worse and worse and more aggressive as time goes on. Because Revelation also tells us when Satan knows his time is short, he gets more aggressive. Oh, I can't believe the music is playing. I still got lots more stuff. Oh, anyway. So thanks for joining us. And join me again next week on Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's Word. We'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.